Unity.com.
Hold on. My fault, Rob. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning!
Yeah, this was a fun morning. It was a really, really fun morning. The lip sync battle was awesome. Can we give it up one more time for, that was just really... Rachel Abdul, that was pretty awesome, I have to say. first of all, you just saw this kind of collage of actions and words, and just those aren't like all biblical things or things we're trying to promote, but they're, when you look up actions and words on the internet, those are the quotes and things that you get. That actions and words, they're pretty important. Now, we've been talking about three different things in this series, lip sync. And as we've kind of talked about, when it comes to a lip sync performance, there's three things that are important. First of all, your words. You've got to get the words right. Second of all, your actions, because just mouthing the words doesn't typically do enough. You want to have, it's a performance. People want to see more than just having lips move that match. So your words are important, your actions are important. And then the third thing we talked about was heart. And basically, you've got to have some passion behind you. You've got to believe what it is you're singing or no one's going to buy it. And so when it comes to a lip sync performance, you want to have actions, you know, words, actions, and heart need to all be in sync. And that's true when it comes to our faith, that we need to have our words, our actions, and our heart be all in sync with one another. But then, of course, we want all three of those to be in line with God's will for us. And that's what this series of lip sync has been about. Now, last week, we kind of broke down the idea of words. And if you happen to not be here, I'd encourage you to go back and take a listen to that podcast. This morning, we're taking a second step in these three, and we're talking about our actions. Focusing on actions, because in the title for today is really Your Actions Matter. Your actions matter because they do. See, even when we get the words right, if our actions aren't in sync with our words, then people are going to notice our inconsistency, aren't they? They're going to question our authenticity. And let's face it, they probably should. You know, some of the worst atrocities in human history have been done by the church or in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity. When you think back to your history lessons about things like the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition or holy wars where people were forced into converting to Christianity because by military effort, people claim that these efforts were necessary in order to protect the church or in order to spread the gospel, but it was really about conquest. It was inconsistent with the message of Jesus, but it's how they would justify their actions. So their words and actions weren't in sync. Now, that's not just about church history. That's not the only time we see that. We see that, of course, in our own society today. For instance, I just read a study about a study the other day that was looking at marriage. In a recent study, it was at Baylor University, it found that Christians, even those from evangelical churches like ours, have higher than average divorce rates and are actually much higher than those who are American and claim to be following no religion at all. Now, for a people that promises to be faithful for as long as we both shall live, and who claim to follow this God who says in Scripture, I hate divorce, but I hate all of the things, the treachery that lead to that, we should be better at it, shouldn't we? Right? But our words and our actions are not in sync oftentimes. And that inconsistency doesn't go unnoticed. God sees it. That's clear. We can't hide anything from Him. People in the church often see it. But even if you manage to hide it from your church family, your faith community, or other believers, your closest friends and family will likely see your inconsistencies. So will your coworkers. So will your neighbors. It gets noticed by those people who are followers of Jesus, and it gets noticed by those who are not yet followers of Jesus. People notice our inconsistencies. They're often the thing that people who, in this unbelieving world, that's what they find so unbelievable. Right? Like, they like Jesus, but they don't like the church. They like Jesus, but they don't like Christians. What was it that Gandhi said? I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Right? We say the right things. We talk a good game sometimes, but don't always reflect the heart of Jesus in our actions. Our inconsistencies and our authenticity will drive away the people who need to hear about Jesus the most, who need to respond to the love of Christ. So we have to do more than just get the words right. Our actions need to match up with our words, and that's what we're focusing in on this morning. Now, this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. It's Romans chapter 12. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, you could turn there. We'll have the verses on the screen as we work through it as well. It's Romans chapter 12. But before we dive into it, I'm going to just tell you what the big idea is right off the bat. And it's pretty simple, maybe even too simple. You're like, I went to church for that this morning. No, you came for the lip syncing, let's be real. All right? But it's a small thing, it's a small statement, but it has big implications, and here's what it is. That when it comes to your actions mattering, we need to do this. We need to act like a Christian. We need to act like a Christian. Right now, when I say act like a Christian, I don't mean pretend. The word act is not about pretending there. We need to be authentic. We need to be genuine. We need to strive towards truth and transparency. So when I say act, it means I'm talking about taking action. In our lives, how we live our lives, we need to act like a Christian, like James writes about when he talks about this in the book of James. Faith without works is dead, right? There needs to be some actions that accompany our faith. Otherwise, it's nothing. And our words and our actions, they need to be consistent. So we need to act like Christians. And that's really the big idea of this morning, and it's the big idea of the passage that we're going to dive into. There are a lot of instructions, by the way, in Scripture about how to do that, how to act like a Christian. And I think, just remember, this is what Paul is trying to get at as we look at these words in Romans. So we're going to dive into Romans chapter 12. We're going to work our way through just verse by verse or section by section, and just a few thoughts on each section as we go through. Now, I would like to model for you grabbing a Bible and opening it up and following along. I'm not doing that most recently, by the way. I just want you to know, not because I don't think opening your Bible is important, but because I don't want to wear reading glasses up here. So I put it right in my notes. So just so you know, it's on there, all right? It's on there. So just being honest with you as a pastor, being truthful and transparent. So, Romans chapter 12, and you can follow along on the screens if you like to, starting in verse 1. Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and when he talks about brothers, that's implying brothers and sisters as well, the community of believers there, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay? By the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, look, what you do with your physical body matters. So any physical activity that our physical body engages in affects us and affects others. And 1 Corinthians talks about how our body, for instance, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that basically it belongs to God. He bought it from us with a price. The price is the blood of Christ on the cross. So our body belongs to God, not to us. It's a sacrifice to him. So then he goes on to say, well, you should flee sexual immorality, right? Because if you engage in that sinful activity with your physical body that belongs to Jesus, that has the Holy Spirit within you, it's like taking Jesus and putting him together with a prostitute. That's a pretty graphic picture. But we're to present our bodies, our physical bodies, as a living sacrifice. We're to keep it holy. We're to keep it set apart. We're to keep it acceptable, pure and righteous to God. So our actions do matter. Act like a Christian, is what he's saying. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our actions should be in line with God's will. Right? What God says is good and acceptable and perfect, that is what we should be striving to accomplish. If what he says is not good, or if he says something is not good or not acceptable or not perfect, then we shouldn't do those things. Right? That's what Paul is getting at here. That's what it means to be able to discern his will. The scriptures are our guide for that, of course. So instead of just doing what we want to or conforming to the patterns of this world, we need to renew our minds, he says, letting God's word shape our thoughts and then letting that shape our actions. That's what Christians should do. Act like a Christian. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Simply put, be humble. Right? That's what he's getting at here, especially in what he's about to talk about. But the bottom line is be humble, because that's a part of what it looks like to act like a Christian. Verse 4, and we're going to carry this through to verse 8. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so he talks about serving here and using our gifts. In other words, act responsibly. We're supposed to be responsible with the gifts that we have. Be faithful to use your gifts fully. If you aren't purposely using them, then you're missing the purpose that he gave them to you for. I don't know if I said that right. But you get the idea. If we aren't using the gifts he gave us, then we're missing out on his purpose for why he gives us gifts in the first place. So get busy using your gifts. Act like a Christian. That's what Paul's writing here. Verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor or hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. This verse I find interesting because it's like two sentences in one verse, and we might tend to think of those sentences as separate thoughts, but I think it's significant that they're kind of squished together in one verse. Let love be genuine, but hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. See, we've got to love others well. That's important. But we still have to call evil evil. We still have to call sin sin. Love doesn't lie about that. Love doesn't ignore that. We call it like it is, but still we love. Right? And again, the standard for what is evil, when he says abhor what is evil or hate what is evil, that's not up to us to decide. It's not up to the world to decide. It's up to God. What he says is good, and what he says is wrong. So it's up to him, and he's given us, again, guidance about that in Scripture, in his word. So we discern his will, like Paul wrote earlier, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right, and do those things. Love, and yet call it like it is. Act like a Christian. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. The word for brotherly affection there, it's like a philos love. It's, you know, love, well, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. That's kind of what's talked about there. And as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to have a pretty special love for one another. That's what we're called to. So much so that we should be competing to try and honor one another. I mean, that's a pretty powerful picture. And by honoring there, he means like assigning value to the other person. like a monetary value. I mean, we're not assigning monetary value to the people, but treat it in that way. Like, give great honor, give great value to each person. Love the other believers. Act like a Christian, right? Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. That's verse 11. So we can't be lagging behind in our effort, right? We're supposed to be boiling hot in our spirit. We're supposed to be busy serving God, serving Jesus. That's our purpose. So act like a Christian. Verse 12, there's actually three parts to this, and I think we're going to break it down a little bit. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope. I think it's easy to feel like there isn't a lot of hope sometimes, right? We look around us and we go, interesting, I had a conversation with my dad this week, and he was reading about an encounter, the late Billy Graham, a great evangelist, if you don't know who he was, shared Jesus with millions of people. I mean, quite powerful how God used him that way. But he was telling me the story of one time he was sitting with a couple of people before a conference, and he was going to speak, and they were going to speak with him, and he got real quiet during the meal that they were having beforehand, and people asked him what was on his mind. He said, we've reached lots of people with the hope of Jesus, but it's hard. I look around, and it still seems like the world isn't any better. Right? It's hard to rejoice in hope when we're looking at the world that's in front of us. But that's not the whole story, right? That's not the entire reality of things. We spent like 3 months talking about what we have to look forward to as followers of Jesus when it comes to heaven, when God makes all things new. We have this incredible eternity that we have to look forward to. So regardless of what bad things are happening on this earth, regardless of the bad things that are happening in our lives, it's a short period of time, and we have all eternity of an incredible, incredible reality waiting for us. So rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. And be patient in tribulation, right? So when we're suffering, or even when it's not suffering or persecution, but some sort of just difficult times in our life, we so often tend to bail and to grab onto something to ease our pain or to make us feel just a little better in the moment. And maybe it's running to a substance or a relationship instead of clinging to God. But then in reality, that just makes the situation worse, because instead of enduring some suffering that we might be going through, knowing God is with us and he's going to be there to walk us through it, now we add this sinful behavior into the mix because we've run to something wrong, and now we got to deal with that too. Right? It's a complicated thing. We're supposed to cling to hope and be patient in the tribulation, not run to something else. They go hand in hand. Rejoice in hope. Be patient as you endure what it is you're going through. And I think because of those two things, that's probably why he ties in the next phrase, be constant in prayer. Right? Because it's not easy. We can seek comfort and strength and peace, though, in our difficult situation when we turn to the Lord in prayer. So be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Because when we do that, we are acting like a Christian. That's what he's calling us to. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Give of your earthly treasures to meet the needs of others, right? Show hospitality to everyone. That's not always easy, because it means giving up finances, giving up our possessions, giving up our space, giving up our time to care for other believers or other people and to welcome others in. But he's calling us to do that. Give. Act like a Christian. The next few verses are going to go a little out of order just to kind of keep the same thoughts together, because it jumps around a little bit here. But verse 15. So we're going to skip to verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So look, how we carry on in our relationships, that matters, right? How we act in our relationships matters. Now, we're not going to agree with everyone. That's a reality. We all know that. It doesn't mean we ignore or condone sinful behavior. It doesn't mean we have to give approval to things that are wrong, things that God says are wrong. But we don't always have to be looking to pick a fight about it either. Right? There's a lot of times that that's the case. Likes to fight guy. Oh, bring it on. I'm going to attack this person for what they believe. Live peaceably as best as you can with others. Those whose ideals are contrary to yours or to Scripture. Even if other people don't respond, you should still do these things. Act like a Christian. Right? Live peaceably with all. As far as it depends on you, you do your best to do that. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When I read these verses, I think, look, here's what he's getting at. Someone uses the tactics of Satan against you, don't use the tactics of Satan against them. That's not what you're called to. That's why Jesus said, oh, forgive others when they wrong you. Be willing to turn the other cheek when they wrong you or when you're treated unfairly. Forgiveness, that's a much better way because that's what God does for us, even though we have turned away from him. Right? So act honorably, even towards those who wrong you. When you're sinned against, don't respond by engaging in sinful behavior back, right? I think that's part of what it means not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If someone badmouths you, you're not obligated to badmouth them back. That's not what we are called to do. Someone hurts you, don't lash out at them. If someone betrays you, don't plot for ways to get even. Bless those who curse you, the scripture says. Do your best to love your enemies, as Jesus said and as Jesus did. Overcome evil with good, right? Act like a Christian. Now, there's a lot to digest here, I realize that, and maybe this morning there's a particular area of your life where you've been talking a good game or saying one thing, but when you hear these words, it's like, oh, I think I've fallen a little short in that area. Maybe God's stirring something in your heart, in your spirit, to make you aware of some of your own inconsistencies. But what he's calling us to do is act like a Christian. Not just to pretend, but to put our faith into action. So what might those areas be for you? What might they be for you? Bob's going to lead us in a song of worship here in a moment. But look, when we say things that we don't live out, that we don't act out, when we hear these things that Scripture says, but we don't live by them, we don't put them into action, people will never believe us. But if we do, they will. right? And perhaps they may start believing in Jesus because we start to look and live more like him. And that's kind of the point. That's what he wants us to be. So as we think about actions, I just want to give us a quiet moment in prayer, just a minute, to just be able to say, God, maybe here's an area for me that is an area of challenge that I heard this morning, something that sticks out for you. And not doing this in a way to beat ourselves up, but just to recognize that we all have a long way to go, don't we? But we're called to act like a Christian because our actions truly do matter. They make a huge difference in regards to those around us. So let's take a moment, just a moment, to pray, and then I'll close this up and we'll close with a worship song. Yeah, just... Lord God, as we are here this morning, we know that we all fall short. We all, our actions are not measuring up like Jesus did. We want to be like him. We want our lives to reflect him. We want to build our life around what it is that you've called us to be and to do. We want to discern your will, and we want to live in that way. We want to live these things out. We want to act like a Christian, and not a Christian as the world defines it, not a Christian as we think, but a Christian as someone who is like you. That our words reflect who you are, but so do our actions. We live it out, God. And these things that maybe come to our mind this morning where we fall short, we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask for you to give us the strength to change, to move, to become more like you want us to be. We're thankful that you're patient with us. We're grateful for your mercy and your grace. We cling to that. We trust in that. And we ask for you to just help us to act like you want us to. And God, we ask for you to help others to take notice, that they too would come to know the incredible love, the hope, the mercy, the forgiveness, the grace, the peace, the strength, the comfort that comes in knowing you. Thank you so much, Jesus. In your name we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.